We're opening our Bibles this evening to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'd like to read from verse 13 through verse 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Gracious Father, we have read from thy word tonight, and we know that that is all that you require, Father, that and the inspiration of your Holy Spirit upon these words. We recognize that this was a text from your prophet's message on the rapture, but we find also in this, who is this Melchizedek that your prophet speaks of the same. And so, Lord, we realize that this is because that we are in the shout. We are in this great shout of the archangel, where you, Lord, have descended with a shout, a message. And Father, we ask that you would help us tonight as we would study this thought that Brother Branham would have, and who's this Melchizedek, that it might help us, Lord, in our being able to place today and the events of this day. And so, Lord, we just commit our thoughts, our thinking to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to read from paragraph of Who is this Melchizedek? Paragraph 118, where Brother Braff said, no wonder Paul could say when there was building a block to chop his head off, he said, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? But thanks be to God which gives us the victory. And he said, death, tell me where you can make me holler. Grave, tell me how that you can hold me. For I am a possessor of eternal life. Amen. He recognized it. Death, hell, grave, nothing could hold him. And nothing can hurt us if we've got eternal life. We realize that he was blessed with eternal life. Just like a little dewdrop. If I understand, I don't know too much about chemistry, but it must be the congealing of humidity or atmosphere. And when the night gets cold and dark, it falls from the heavens and it drops upon the earth. And it's fell from somewhere. But the next morning, before the sun comes up, it's laying there. And the little fellow is shivering. But just let the sun come up and watch it go to shining. And it's happy. Why? The sun is going to call it right back to where it come from. And that's the way with a Christian. Hallelujah. We know when we walk into the presence of God, something in us tells us that we come from somewhere and that we're going back again by that power that's pulling us. The little dewdrop, he glistens and he shines and he shouts because he knows that he come up from there and that sun's going to draw him right back again. And a man that's an attribute of God, that's born of God, he knows, hallelujah, when he comes in contact with the Son of God, he's going to be drawn up from here someday, for if I be lifted up from heaven, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. Now tonight what I would like to do is take this thought from Brother Branham and bring out an additional thought, or actually look at Brother Branham's illustration here about the dewdrop. And I'd like to show that this is not just an illustration that I just threw out there for happenstance, but actually the dewdrop itself speaks of, the illustration he talks about, it's not just a, one-time thing. It's not just a quick event in itself, but it actually constitutes a series of events. And there are actually several events that will take place if this type in which he's talking about being caught up is a type of the rapture. Then there's a series of events that's associated with that. Alright? From Rotherham's Emphasized Bible, he said in this edition, the word parousia is uniformly rendered presence. Coming as a representative of this word is set aside. He continues that the parousia is still in the future. He wrote this 100 years ago, 1897. He said, it's still in the future and may therefore be enshrouded in a measure of obscurity which only fulfillment can clear away. Remember, Brother Brown said that God interprets His word by doing what? By bringing it to pass, see? He said, it may be, in fine, both a period more or less extended during which certain things happen, an event coming on and passing away as one of a series of divine interpositions. In other words, there's going to be a series of events. So he doesn't look at the parousia as an event, but he looks at it more as a period. Because the word parousia suggests to us not a coming, but having come, what takes place when he's there. So we're talking about a period of time. He said, number one, Christ is raised as a first fruit. That's one event. He returns and vouchsafes his presence, during which time he raises his own. That is another event, however large and prolonged. And finally, comes another cluster of events constituting the end. And I like what he says. He raises his own. That is another event, however large and prolonged. Now remember, God prolonged the first resurrection. Jesus was raised, and then those that were in the graves were raised. There's a period of maybe 40 to 50 days in which he was seen in the city. There was at least 500 witnesses to the resurrection, the resurrected saints in the midst of the people. And so he says, henceforth, after all, presence may be the most widely and permanently satisfying translation of the looked-for parousia of the Son of Man. Now, I'd like to just look and take a simple sermon tonight, but look at this thought from paragraph 118, this illustration that Brother Branham is using. He says that he speaks of a dewdrop or a drop of dew having come from the sky, coming down, settling on the earth, and being drawn back by the presence of the sun. So we're going to look at this this illustration of the drop of dew being caught up to go back to where it came from, and rejoicing in the fact that the Son, S-U-N, but we could say the Son of God, will catch it, or will call it forth. Now, this is not just one event here, but it actually constitutes several events, as Rotherham stated. Number one, we know that His presence is here to cause a separation from between the chaff and the wheat. So we find that one of the events of the catching away, and let's just illustrate it this way, we have the, this is the events of the catching away, okay? Number one, there's got to be a separation. Now think of that little drop of dew, okay? It's earthy. It's mingled with the grass, it's mingled with the ground, it's saturated everything. So basically is tied, if you want to call it that, to the earth. But there's got to be a separation in order for that to go up. It's got to leave where it's at. So here's this little dewdrop, and it's settled in. Here's the grass blades and everything else, and it's settled in there. All right? So there's got to be a separation.
Number one, we know that his presence here is causing a separation between the chaff, which represents the earthy, and the wheat. This too is essential, for without a separation, life could never come forth in birth. And if the spiritual types are natural, then there also must be a separation for the new birth to become a reality. Now, notice, the baby must separate from the mother. Until it separates from the mother, it's not born yet. Alright? So there's got to be a separation come forth first, and we're talking about the process of the catching away. Therefore, he is here to separate the chaff from the wheat. We turn to Matthew chapter 3, and I've got quite a few scriptures here, but we're just going to read just a few. We'll read a few from each of the categories. Okay, Matthew 3, and we'll read from verse 11 to 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So we see here that in this gathering process, there's actually a separation because the chaff is being separated from the wheat. The wheat is actually being gathered into his garner. We can look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 23 as well. And we read, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them." So you'll see there's got to be a gathering together first. Now we could go to the parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 13 and verse 24 to 30. "Another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said, wilt thou that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you are gathering up the tares, you would also root up the wheat." Okay? "Let both grow together until a certain time, until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them together, to bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." So we see that there's got to be a separation because one's being gathered to this and one's being gathered to that. Alright? Now, number two then, and, well, actually, let me just give you a few more. Alright, let's go to verse 36 to 43. Don't want to get you out of here too early. Okay. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that hath sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the Son of, in the kingdom of his Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So we see then again that there's going to be a gathering and a separating of the two. Let's go to verse 47. And we'll read 47 to 49. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just." Wow. The angels, by what they do, will cause a separation. That's their job. So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels, the messengers, shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now the wailing and gnashing of teeth and is synonymous of the tribulation. Brother Branham, in several places, he talks about how they're cast out into weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He said that they're left for the tribulation period. You see? So there's got to be a ministry to actually bring that about. We can go to Matthew 25, which tells us about the wise and the foolish virgins. And we see also again there's a separation take place. Okay. Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. In other words, you're in darkness. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. The word was shut. You see, so these people are basically at that point, they're left to themselves, and there's no ministry there to take them further into the word. Now we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and reading verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Notice, from means they're cast out. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith and power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we go to chapter 2, and we read verse 3. Let's see. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We could actually read from now verse 10 to 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in the righteousness. So we see them through, and then he says, but we are bound to give thanks to you, always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So God, there's a separating. What's the separation? It come by the Word. You see? All right? Now we look at 1 Timothy 4 in verse 1. I charge you therefore before the Lord, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Okay, then he goes on and says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So the sound doctrine then is what caused the great falling away. In Hebrews 6 we find that those that were once for all enlightened and have tasted that heavenly gift were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, companions of the Holy Ghost, if they shall fall away. See, there's a separating there. Alright, we find in John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. And verse 19 to 21. They went out from us because they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be manifested, that they were not of us. But we have an unction, we have an anointing from the Holy One, that you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that I know lies of the truth. So, you know, he's saying, look, it's the truth. It's the truth that keeps you together. It's the truth that that actually causes a separation. Remember in the very beginning when God said, let the light be separated from the darkness. And he said, the second time he spoke, he said, let the water be from above be separated from the waters from below. So when God speaks, there's got to be a separation take place, because that's life. You see, when you have life, you have a separation. When you have the cells, you know, you have the chromosomes. And, you know, you have the little the genes on the chromosome like this. If you watch the chromosomes duplicate, what happens? There's a separation. And now this here becomes two. And then that two becomes four. And the four becomes eight. There's a separation. What's it doing? It's building life. So where you've got life, you've got separation. It's a good thing. Okay. In fact, you have to have separation before you can have the life, or at least the life come into manifestation. Okay, let's go on to the second thought then. We have several scriptures left, but we can just go on to the next one. All right, number two. In order for the dewdrop to be raised up, it must first be changed from a solid matter to a gaseous state. All right, so there's got to be a change of the form. Before it can be raised up, there's got to be a change of the body. Or we're looking at a change of the form. Now, in the illustration Brother Brown gives, it's a dewdrop. And the dewdrop is water, and the water is in the liquid form. But in a liquid form, it can't go up. So it has to be transformed. You see? So this little story, little illustration Brother Branham tells, to one person can mean one thing. To another person, if you know the doctrine, you can see it absolutely nails down what he's talking about. But if you don't know the doctrine, it's a cute little story, because, let's face it, he talks about how this little dewdrop's happy, and he begins to shout. But you know, and I know, that little dewdrops can't be happy because they don't have a life. And they can't shout because... But I tell you what, God did the same thing in the Old Testament when he said that the blood would cry out. Huh? Well, this water shouting, and that blood was crying out, and the rocks would shout. Didn't he say that he'd raise up rocks, make them into sons of God? Alright, so in order for the dewdrop then to be raised up, it must first be changed from a solid matter to a gaseous state. In other words, there must be a change of the body. Therefore, his presence here is to bring forth a change of our body, readying our body for a catching away. So he is here to change the living. If we turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, and going back to our text for tonight, notice 1 Thessalonians 4, and verse 15 to 18, he said, For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall be unto the parousia of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Alright, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, because also Paul speaks of in this scripture of the catching away. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, and let me see, we want 1 Corinthians 15, and we could read the entire chapter, but let's just go ahead and read from verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his presence, or his parousia. Then cometh the end, when he shall be delivered up, he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it manifests that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And then he goes on to verse 37, and that which thou sowest, or let's go to 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bear grain, if by chance, of wheat or some of the grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of birds and fishes, and etc., etc. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another of the moon, and another of the stars, and one star differs from one another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So notice, the dewdrop is sown a natural body, it falls with a natural body. Right? But when it goes up, it's not a natural body, it's a gaseous body. It's a celestial body, if you want to call it that, because it's going back to gases. Okay? So it says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised. Notice the raising then is that which is lighter than air. Right? The gas is lighter than air. Well, then there's going to be something about our body that's has an ability to go up in another dimension. Be lighter than air. I don't know. I mean, you know, but it's a different body. Okay, so we're looking at that change then. All right, we could go to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Notice he says, but we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there's something about the word that will take place that will bring forth a transformation. We know in Romans 12, verse 1, it says that the transformation comes how? The renewing of the mind. Okay, in Colossians 3 and 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear also with him in glory. So there's something about the transfixing or the focusing, our focus becoming where we see him face to face, and because we see him as he really is, then we receive a body change. In 2 Thessalonians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 7, and then 10 through 12, as we read already, we see that there's a time of a gathering, there's a time that he comes to be glorified in his saints. So number two, we see then that there has to be a change of the body. That brings us to number three. Then once the body of that dew drop has been changed, it is drawn up into the presence of the Son, as we will be drawn up into the presence of the Son of God in the rapture. Now I've got many scriptures here, so if you want to actually look more into those scriptures, it'll be on the web. You'll be able to read it there. But the dewdrop had settled into the ground, and before it could be raised up, it had to be changed in its form, and thus he is here to raise the dead and to raise us into the presence of the Son. So the third point we want to make is this, that his presence is here. It takes the presence of the Son, okay, and presence of the Son, to bring forth, or we can even say the light, okay, to bring forth the raising, the rapture, the raising or the catching up. In other words, the rapture. So the Son comes up, its presence, the presence of that light, pulls it. There's a certain drawing that takes place, and I don't know if I have that quote available, but Brother Bram said from not 70 weeks of Daniel, but Feast of the Trumpets. He said, he talks about when the seven seals open, he said the saints are drawn together and they're drawn up to God. So there's a drawing that takes place there. Now, we can look at this in 1 Thessalonians 4, 15-18. We can look at it in 1 Corinthians 15 or Ephesians 1, 17-23, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him he comes. In Galatians chapter 2, we'll just read from there. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So there's a quickening taking place in Acts chapter chapter 1. We read from verse 9 to 11. Let's see here. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. And when he had spoken these things, while he beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up. Well, if they saw him go up, then he's got to come down. So there's got to be a coming in clouds, as we have the presence of the very pillar of, the pillar of cloud there coming down. And of course, we see that cloud is actually the head of God, and notice his face is like the Hoffman's. I mean, it's just a perfect fit there. Because why? Because the Son came in the image of the Father. You see, all right. And we have many other scriptures we could read. You know, in Matthew chapter 27. And reading from verse 51 to 53. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And he came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. So we see then that there's a drawing up, because why? He came out of the grave, and they came out afterwards. You see? So they were drawn toward him. Again, in Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. In 2 John, or 1 John chapter 3, Your beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we shall appear with him. So, you know, as he appears, as he comes forth into his phaneroo, then we begin to phaneroo with him. You know, we are drawn to him. Like Brother Brown said, you can't help. Some people can look at this Bible and they get nothing from it. But you look at this Word and the Word of God for this hour, and it does something to you. It draws you. Even though in the flesh, you know, you say, well, another Wednesday night. You know, I'm tired and I'd like to relax a little bit. But there's something that draws you. You realize that we are caught up into something. We're caught up into an event. Not just an event, but we're actually caught up into a period of time, the very presence of God being made manifest in our midst, and there's something happening. Now, we don't always know exactly what that is, but we have a good clue. And as we sit back and watch and wait, God unravels it for us, because he's unraveling himself. He's unfolded himself in this hour. Okay. We turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we'll read from verse 3. Deuteronomy verse 3. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. So we see that there's got to be a return from the Lord. And notice, when he's returned, then he begins gathering. We find Luke 20 verse 36. Verse 36, we read, Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, and being the children of the resurrection. So we see then that we're called the children of the resurrection, because he is the resurrection and the life. And we go on and on with the scriptures, but basically what I'm showing is Brother Branham's illustration of the dewdrop is showing there's a period, there's a series of events. It's not just, you know, this thing is gone. But he says, he goes on, he gives it life. Says there's attributes there. There's joy, and there's anticipation of going back to where it came from, and all these things that we should be feeling. This great joy and anticipation of knowing that he's here. We're in the presence of the Son. It's a matter of just, you know, baking out or drying out, and because we know that we're going to be going up, you know, and so. You know, he's letting us know in the process there's a separation, there's a change in the body, and then there's a drawing, you see? So I hope tonight that we can look at these things that Brother Brown says when you know, we realize, well, yeah, it's an illustration, but it's more than an illustration. I mean, we've got, you know, an illustration is basically a story, and remember Jesus said, they said, Jesus, why do you talk in parables? Why do you tell stories? And he said, well, because it's not meant for some to know. And I'm sure a lot of people read that and they say, oh, you know, that's kind of, you know, Brother Branham just telling a story, you know, about the little dewdrop.
And the little dewdrop is you know, saying, praise the Lord. You know, the sun's come up. And praise the Lord, I know I'm going home. And you know, that's just a little story to them. But when you can tie it in with the doctrine of what's happening, that it takes the very presence of the sun to bring this thing, this event, you know, kick it into action, if you want to call it that. Then we can look at a little piece of a story, and we can know what it's all about. That he didn't go out of context, that he wasn't talking out of his head when he's talking about this little dewdrop, you know, was excited. He had joy. You know, most people read that and say, you know, this man, you know, he's got to have his head examined. You know, he's trying to put attributes to, human attributes to a little dewdrop. Well, Jesus, didn't he do the same? By their fruits you shall know them. He talked about trees and fruits and everything else. Then he talked about sheep and wolves and sheep's clothing. Using metaphors. You see? When Jesus said, you know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I hover you as a hen does a brood? Jesus wasn't saying that he was a hen. But just using a little illustration so we can, you know, it helps you to understand the analogy. It's just an analogy. It's an allegory. But we can see then by this little simple text that you could actually just pass over and say, well, it doesn't mean anything, but it does mean something. It means exactly what he said. There's a presence of the sun, and because the presence of the sun is here, we know there's got look, we're already here. The dew's already fallen. Right? So now there's only one thing left, and that's for the gaseous change, if you want to call it that, the change of the body. And they're going up. The shout has already come. We're in the rapture. We're part of the process. Are we in the presence of the Son? If we're in the presence of the Son, they're just going home. That's why we can shout. That's why we can lift up our hands and praise the Lord. When we see these things, the world's going crazy. Brother Bass said the only people that would have a right mind, the only people that would be sane is in the election. It's in the bride. And I can verify, I mean, you can all you got to do is read the newspapers, turn on the radio. It's just insanity what's going on out there. So be it. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this short but sweet thought that your prophet brought about the little dewdrop. We ask, Father, that you would take a hold of the words. May they help us, Lord, help us to lay in the presence of the Son, knowing that as we lay here, there's a change taking place, a renewing of the mind. The inner man's being changed. The outer man's perishing. And Father, we just thank you because we know that once this process is complete, we go up and there's no stopping us going up. And now we commit ourselves to that going up process and to the laying in the presence process. We all commit it to thee in Jesus' name. Amen.